And as soon as they say, oh, wow, you know, Jay was able to help this person, maybe they can help me. You know, this is probably one of the most difficult people I know.
So we should send all of our angry customers to you.
Exactly.
Send them all to Jay. Jay can fix all their problems.
Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay.
Hello and welcome to Sell or Die. I'm Jen Gleckow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute. And on my left
is Jeffrey Gittimer, author of The Little Red Book of Selling. And today, You can talk to any.
This is Sell or Die,
the best podcast on the planet.
We have an amazing show coming up. I am uber excited.
And we took an Uber to get here.
We did.
No, we didn't. We live here. But Uber is the new verb.
Yeah.
I'm going to call an Uber or I'm going to call a taxi. What do
you
call?
Ubered yesterday.
Exactly.
I mean, whatever.
So
who needs a car anymore?
We have a banker with us today. And the banker is like a cool dude, but he's more of a friend of yours than he is a friend of mine. I just ask him for money.
Mr. Jay Biss will be joining us. He is the number one banker at his bank, which I'm not allowed to mention
nope,
the name of.
It's a secret.
But he is an incredible guest. And today we're also going to be talking about testimonials.
Ooh. You mean like testimonials like social testimonials online?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me throw something at you. When I started out with testimonials, they came in the form of letter. Like people would get a testimonial letter and then someone would frame them and put them up on their wall of fame. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. And then all of a sudden, testimonials, letters became obsolete when video killed the radio star. And that transformed everything. No longer did a letter testimonial matter. People wanted to see proof. They wanted to see.
Can you sing that again, Jeffrey?
Video killed the radio star.
All
well,
right, thanks.
For those of you unaware, that was the first video on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
That was when they launched MTV. That was the very first video.
How poetic! All right, so here's what we want you
and
to
it
do.
Did,
we
by are. The way.
Sell or Die fans, we want you to listen to us on Overcast. It's our favorite podcast app. Download it on your iPhone. It's an iPhone app. If you don't have an iPhone, go get an iPhone. Overcast, it's our favorite podcast app. Search for Sell or Die, subscribe, and then give our episode a star.
Especially this one about testimonials that we're going to go back to for just a second. Can we?
Well, we're going to get there. We haven't even gotten to the testimonial place yet.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. We were just giving them a preview.
Aha.
Oh, okay. So anyway, if you give our episodes a star, those stars build up and they help our show rise through the ranks. And currently, what number are we, Jeffrey?
Number one.
Say it again.
Oh, we are. We're number one.
That's right. And
I have no idea what number one means, but we are
number
there.
Number one. We are the
exactly.
Number one business
numero
podcast
uno.
App. Rockin'. All right.
So follow us on Twitter. I'm at Gittimer. Jen is at Jen in any minute. You'll get the latest news about the show and tons of information about sales that you cannot get anywhere else on the planet.
Today's episode is brought to you by Strasburger Steaks.
I love Strasburger Steaks.
They're amazing. Visit StrasburgerSteaks.com today and click the Steak Lover button to get tender and delicious steaks delivered to your door. Today, Strasburger Steaks. Celebrate meat.
Celebrate meat. And speaking of meat and potatoes, who do we have on the show today?
All right. Jay Biss mm-hmm. is our guest. Mm-hmm. He is a banker at, I can't say the name. But it is one of the top banks in the country.
It rhymes with Rumpelstiltskin.
Anyway, so, you know, as a banker, he's not just a trusted advisor. He's also a salesperson.
Right.
And he's the number one salesperson at his bank.
Because you trust the guy.
Right. But not just his location in New York, number one. No. Not just his region, number one. In the entire country.
Wow. Now, if you're number one in New York City, you're doing something right.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a lot of people in New York City. And the question is, what do you do to get there? And Jay will reveal that today,
mm-hmm.
I hope.
Yeah, he's going to talk about how to become a trusted advisor.
If he doesn't, we're going to cut this episode.
All right. But before we get to that, let's talk about testimonials.
Okay, cool. So I talked about letters.
Yes.
You ever get a testimonial?
Of course.
And do you prefer them online or do you prefer them in video when you're sitting in somebody else's office? Because there's both types.
You mean like online, like written?
Well, somebody posts something about you on your Facebook page.
Well, I love getting a surprise one, but I also love having video because you can actually see the person talking about you.
There's so many ways now of getting testimonials. For example, on LinkedIn, you can be recommended.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, you can have a personal endorsement on LinkedIn. So there's all kinds of ways you can get done on that. Somebody can shoot a video, send it to you. You can put it up on your YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody can do the same thing on Facebook or give you some kind of a written testimonial on Facebook.
Okay, but back in the day where when people were sending...
Back in the day? Was that 10 years ago? Seriously?
Maybe 15.
Okay.
But back in the day when people were sending written testimonials,
yeah,
they were doing that because video wasn't so accessible.
And the salesperson had to literally ask for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've gotten a lot of unsolicited letters and obviously unsolicited testimonials are the best kind you can get because some people will beg for them mm-hmm. and not have earned them. And that's a whole other issue we can discuss.
I think that salespeople, a lot of them don't know how to get unsolicited testimonials.
You serve your ass off.
Mm.
You deliver your ass off. Your product is the greatest. Your company is friendly. You're accessible. You're easy to do business with. You wow the customer so many times that they say, I gotta tell people about this.
You know, it was cool. Dave, our publisher, was here and he was telling us a story about customer service and how this person over the phone had helped him tremendously. And the next breath he took, he said, I'm going to write the CEO of whatever company it was, major corporation, a letter about how great this person was. Because that person served their ass off.
Well, the challenge for people today is we live in a place of mediocrity. Anything that rises above that level will get some kind of attention. They write, you know, millions of books are sold about customer service that I don't really see the extraordinary aspect of it, but that's a whole other issue. Here's the deal. There's so many ways to get a testimonial right now that if you can't get them, you really suck. I mean, if you can't get somebody to endorse you on LinkedIn, something's wrong. If you can't get somebody to write an email about how great your product was and thank you, something's drastically wrong. And if you can't get somebody to post something up on Facebook, something's drastically wrong. Is that fair to say?
No, that's totally fair. I was looking at a website the other day and there was no testimonial at all. There was no one saying anything positive or negative, but no one saying anything about this product.
But you walk into a million stores and they all say, like us on Facebook. Like, seriously? That's a hunk of bullshit. Why would I like you on Facebook?
Right. Well, I like at the ice cream store how they have it like handy on an iPad. And if you like it, then you get a dollar off or something.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
make it
there's
cool.
Something in it for me.
So the challenge is then how does the customer actually have the impetus to give the testimonial? And unfortunately, on Yelp or TripAdvisor, usually if it's shitty, they'll do something.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
So you get a reverse testimonial that you have to do something about. But we proactively, as a person who does this for a living, I want to make sure that if someone gives us good service that we note it.
Mm-hmm.
So if the food is great or the service is great, we'll go out of our way to post something on TripAdvisor or Yelp. And the question is, do you? What's your karma on testimonials? Do you give them and then get them, or do you just not do anything and expect to get them from other people?
So when I teach LinkedIn courses, people ask me, what's the best way to get a testimonial? And I said, give them.
Yeah.
Give exactly. them to everyone you're working with that you think is great, that you think, you know, if they're great, and then likely if they think you're great, they'll give it back to you.
All right. So we're going to get to our show right now. We got to get to the guest, more on this topic.
Before we get to that, I have to tell you about amazing new service we're using, StrasburgerSteaks.com. It's revolutionizing the way people across the country are eating meat.
You may not know that you can get steakhouse quality prime meat delivered to your door, no trip to the store necessary. Now, I'm talking tender, delicious New York strip steak, mouthwatering rib steak, porterhouse, veal chops, and they're very famous, world famous, bone-in filet. I'm hungry.
Strasburger meats are in the kitchen of some of New York's world-famous steakhouses like Keen's Chop House, Smith & Walensky, and Lavo. If you've ever had an unforgettable steak in New York City, it was a Strasburger steak.
Listen, salespeople around the world, the Strasburgers have been in the meat business since the 1850s. They know meat. Once you've tried one of their amazing steaks, there's no going back.
It makes a great gift for any celebration, birthdays, holidays, even corporate giveaways. Give the gift of an unforgettable steak from the people who have been doing it the longest, or keep it all to yourself. Visit StrasburgerSteaks.com today and click on the Steak Lover button to bring the steakhouse to your house.
Why don't you just, if you like testimonials or objections or making appointments or anything having to do with sales or personal development attitude, then go to the Gittimer Learning Academy. It's the most comprehensive sales learning platform on the planet. If you love this show, you're going to love the Gittimer Learning Academy. So go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and you can sign up for a free, no obligation demo.
Okay, it's time for Jabis, our trusted advisor expert.
You live in Manhattan or do you live outside of Manhattan?
No, I live outside of Manhattan in Westfield, New Jersey. It's a bit of a commute, but, you know, it's worth it. It's the biggest, you know, most thriving city in the world, so...
Westfield, New Jersey is the most thriving city in the world?
No.
Oh, New York.
New York.
I got it. Okay, I got it. I'm slow on the uptake.
Westfield's beautiful, though.
Yeah.
What, so, it is nice, yeah.
What exit are you by?
It's exit 136 on the parkway.
Oh, so that's kind of a pain in the butt to get all the way into New York City. It's a long commute.
It can't. There's a train, and it's about 45 minutes. It's not direct. You have to get off in Newark, but... it's actually not so bad. It depends if you catch the right train.
So knowing you, I bet you get there earlier to this large New York bank, earlier than some of your fellow colleagues who actually live in Manhattan.
That's true.
Yeah, it's kind of true. Yeah, I do. Part of it is because of the practicality of the trains, knowing that if I take a certain train and it's now all of a sudden all the trains are coming in at the same time, and it gets clogged. Believe it or not, there's only two tunnels getting into the city. And so if you take a train around 9 o'clock, you're just not going to get there till at least 9:30 or so. So I take an earlier train knowing that because there's just less trains at that time.
So you get there first.
I know I'm going to get there.
My motto has always been be the first one to arrive and the last one to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And
there you go.
That has won me more money than I can ever talk about. But the bottom line is most people go, yeah. Because they,
my
you know,
train was late.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you left late.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
The train's always late.
They blame the train.
Get there earlier.
Take an earlier train, yo-yo.
So, yeah. Jay, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the show, amongst many, but one of them is, rumor has it, you are the top salesperson at your bank.
Correct. Yes.
No, not
the number
not, wait a second.
One.
In New York or in the country?
In the country.
Whoa.
That's amazing.
So you're number one. Now think about this for just a second. I want to share with you, people ask me all the time, should I quit my job? And I tell them, if you quit your job now, your boss will throw you under the bus because you've never made your quota, you hate your life, and you hate your company. But if you become the number one salesperson at the company, then you can quit. Because your boss cannot say, he quit. He was the best guy we ever had. That you're now in this position where you can name your own poison. You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. But but either way, you're number one. No one can make that statement other than having been there. That's a phenomenal achievement. And if you're listening out there in the sales world right now, become number one. Then talk about it.
Okay, so how did you become number one?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Tell us some of your secrets to success, Jay.
Take an earlier train. That's number one.
Yeah.
Be the first one in, the last one to leave. Yeah, that's definitely a part of it. It's very interesting because part of my inspiration was for coming in early and leaving late. I heard that story about Drew Brees, quarterback for the Saints, who, you know, isn't that tall. He's about 6 feet tall. And they told him that he was never going to succeed in the NFL. And he was that guy who was the first one in and the last one to leave. And he just learned and became better at what he did to the point where now everybody knows who he is. That's kind of has been my motto as well. I started off as a graphic designer, and I learned about sales and kind of self-taught myself in a lot of different ways. And to me, that was a huge component of my success, is learning about what this is and what drives success. It's interesting that somebody introduced me to the Sales Bible back in 2006.
I've heard of that.
And it's funny because, I didn't read the book for at least 6 months and actually left the position and took a different position. Meanwhile, I'm holding on to this book without reading it. As soon as I read it, though, I started to realize that it had a lot of value to me in learning about what sales really is. And I pretty much just read everything you wrote at the time.
Wow, so, that's cool.
So, yeah, it's still a part of my practice. You know, practice, practice, practice. So you want to make sure that you're on top of your motivation. You want to make sure that you're on top of your customer service skills. So, you know, that's another part of the success that I had. Especially at the bank that I'm at, is I literally picked up the phone one time, and somebody who had called from the private bank within this large bank had asked for a favor and said, look, you're not going to get anything out of this. It's more of a service issue, but, you know, can you do this for me? So I went, did the thing for him, and he liked how I took care of it in a quick way, and it was done very professionally, and he said, look, I'm going to give you more referrals. So I started getting referrals from the guy, and at the end of the day, you know, that's where it begins. It begins with a service for somebody. If you do a service for somebody, they remember you, and they can potentially refer you other business, and the next thing you know, you're just growing your business essentially that way.
But I think the key there is the guy didn't promise you anything. He just said, you're going to do this. It's a favor. Yeah. And you said, okay. You didn't have an expectation of anything, but you did it the best possible way you could. That is what success is all about. And that's how you become number one.
Did you do it because you naturally love to serve?
I did it because, yeah, it was one of those things where I just wanted to help this person out. You know, here he was calling a phone where nobody was picking up. It probably had rang, you know, three or four times. He probably had called multiple times over multiple days, and it was probably very frustrating for him. So there was an opportunity for me to help this person kind of, you know, get what he needed to get done in a timely manner. And, you know, who knows what could happen? You know, at the end of the day, you do somebody this customer service and you never know what could be.
You know, not to go back to it, but that Sales Bible book at the very end of that book has the very same thing in there that you give without the expectation of return. And there are so many salespeople that don't get that, that it's almost I think, appropriate at this moment to dwell on the fact that you don't have to be paid for everything you do, but the world will pay you back if you do the right thing.
Stop thinking, what's in it for me?
Yeah. And stop measuring, well, I did one for this guy, so he owes me one. And if you quit that, then the world pays you back. And the world pays way greater dividends than some, you know, schmagegi guy that lives in Jersey.
Yep.
No offense. Because we all lived in Jersey. Actually, Jen and I and you live in Jersey.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about becoming known as that person of value and that giver.
Yeah.
And then people are going to want to help you.
Yeah. So when this guy refers Jay, he goes, hey, this guy serves.
Mm-hmm.
This guy gives without expectation of return. He's your guy.
Here's what Jay did for me.
Right.
He has a story to tell now.
Oh, sure.
How you helped them.
So let me throw something at you about your slogan.
Sure.
You know, you show up and follow up.
Yes.
We have differentiated follow up in our psychological, sales, sociological process by calling it follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you follow up with somebody and you say, hey, I'm just touching base with you to see how everything's going, that's a follow up. But I like to consider it follow through, where you actually do something to advance a sale or to advance your relationship or to get to the next plateau and whatever it is, and you follow through all the way until the sale is yours or the relationship is yours or the referral is yours or the money is yours.
Well, correct. Is that what you do, Jay?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, the focus of the quote really is more about just showing up and then showing up again. And so, yes, technically you're right. The follow-through is key. But the key is to make sure that you show up again and that you're there and that you're present. That is, I think, the most important part of it that I like to focus on and bring up. So many times people who are in sales positions will show up one time. They may call again. They may not. But really, it's just a matter of always showing up, always being there, being available, being ready when the opportunity hits you. If you're not there, you're not going to get the deal. It's not going to happen. So,
what are some of the ways that you follow up?
When I follow up, it's a matter of trying to find something to talk about other than just the, you know, the reason that I have. So many times I'll try to follow up about something that, we talked about in a conversation previously. I'll throw in something about, rapport building. And then, yes, in there, I will couch it with the fact that, hey, this is the reason why I'm here, and this is why I'm following up as well. Many times also it's a matter of the art of it in terms of how you follow up the email or the phone. And knowing the difference between the two. And there are times when the email is just not appropriate and you need to pick up the phone and talk to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And that, believe it or not, can kind of break the noise.
Right, because you talk about other things than what the subject of the email was. You could talk about a ball game, right, and not just the loan.
Exactly.
You can build a friendship.
Right, exactly.
So how do you track all this? I think one problem that salespeople come across is they're dealing with so many different people, so many different things to remember, and so many different about them, and so many different follow-up tasks to remember. What mechanism do you use that's been successful?
I think it's extremely important to be organized. Absolutely. I think that's the number one thing. And many people have, different CRMs that they use, Salesforce and whatnot. Unfortunately, where I work right now, we don't have that. So I have kind of my own little thing that I do. It's a combination of Microsoft Excel spreadsheets. And believe it or not, I use Outlook. I have folders for every client that I'm working with.
Wow.
And all the deals that I need to touch. And so in my head, when I get to the point where I need to do those follow-throughs, I go through those email inboxes and I check to see, okay, what's the last thing I said to them? What's the last thing they said to me? Mm-hmm. Are they on vacation? Mm-hmm. Is this appropriate now to follow up? Do I wait a little bit longer? And that's, the thing about that also is that with experience and time, you get a really good sense of what's appropriate time to follow up and how to follow up with them.
Now, I want
so you don't want to send, for example.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go.
I was going to say, you don't want to send, for example, like two emails in a row. You send one email one week and then the next week you send another email. It's a little stale after a while. So you kind of want to mix it up and figure out like what is the way that the client wants to be communicated with. And the only way to know that is to have that experience of trying and failing and then trying again. Practice, practice, practice.
So in other words, you have invented your own system to follow up and follow through. You are organized to the end of the earth. Your company supports you with a crap with any kind of modern tool. But instead of complaining about it, you did something about it on your own and have emerged as the number one sales guy in the country. If you're listening to this right now, I would wait until you get to the end of this interview and then re-listen to it 10 times so you get the fact that bitching will not get you any place in this world, but figuring out what the answer is for yourself and then doing it in favor of your customer, that's the avenue that will win. And that's what Jay does. Literally, he does it intuitively. Like he's adding all the spreadsheets and adding in his gut feeling to it. And I think that's what really makes it happen.
Yeah, it sounds like, whatever the bank is that's behind you, they're the mechanism, but you're creating all the processes that you need. You're owning it as if you're the CEO of your own territory.
Right.
And that's what every salesperson needs to do. They need to become the CEO of their own territory. They don't have CRM created. Figure it out.
Exactly. I mean, you're – and let's add one more thing. You're in a very heavily regulated business right now. There's all kinds of government rules that tell you what you can't do.
Mm.
And so you've modified that into what you can do. and figured out a way to be able to make it happen. For example, you'd have a real hard time building your own personal brand. You can't send out a weekly email magazine without it running through legal. You can't do anything to all of your clients at one time. You have to do it one at a time. One day when you're on your own and consulting with these banks to try to figure out how they can actually build relationships, you'll be able to go back and look at what you did on your own to be able to support that and help all of your coworkers get into the 21st century. I think you have an incredible career, very, very close to being ahead of you.
I love that. So, Jay, tell us about your toughest sale or a sale that you just somehow won over that you were surprised about and what you did to win it.
Sure. I can talk about something that happened recently, actually. A client was introduced to me by another banker who had a bad experience over the last year or so. They were supposed to close his account. Some fees reopened it. And whoever the banker that was supposed to take care of it didn't take care of it. And it kept rolling and rolling every month. Fees kept getting charged and charged. It came to me when there was about a year's worth of fees. The client was a what we call center of influence, so somebody who could refer us business and has referred us business over the years. And he was so angry the minute that he met me, the first conversation was him yelling at me. And, you know, Jeffrey, I don't have to tell you, you know what it's like to meet an angry New Yorker, right?
Yep. I've met several of them. In fact, I've been one.
All right. Well, there you go. This was probably the typical angry New Yorker that you can imagine, yelling, you know, at the top of his lungs.
Yep.
And he's basically saying, I'm going to close out all my accounts.
Not swearing, though, right? He wasn't swearing at you.
He wasn't swearing. You're right. He wasn't swearing. He goes, I'm going to have all my clients close their accounts, take all their money out of this, and I'm not going to refer you guys any business.
Well, how pleasant.
I said, well, nice to meet you. I said, it would be great if I can get a chance, an opportunity to close this account correctly for you and get your money back. And he said, you can try. And within 2 weeks, I took care of his problem. And it was completely service-related. There was no expectation at all that anything else would happen from this. I mean, the relationship was done. It was over. And that, to me, I see that even in that situation as an opportunity. And I didn't have any expectation from it. However, because it took care of him and I did it in a way that he felt it was done professionally, he actually said to me afterwards, he goes, now, I really would consider, I'm sorry that, you know, I've met you at this point, but if I would have met you earlier, I would have stayed. But I would also consider maybe sending you a client just to see what that's like, because I want to hear what the Jay experience is, essentially. So within about a month or so, he sent me a client. I opened an account for this client, did a good job. And, of course, he followed up with the client. And in about a year afterwards, he came back to me. And he said, you know, the relationship with the bank that I'm currently with isn't working out. You know, surprise, surprise. But he decided to come back to me. And he says, you're only in this room right now because of the way you handled the relationship at the end.
Cool.
I don't know if he's going to be a difficult client, but I got the relationship back. It's about six different accounts and, you know, there's some lending involved. So, you know, in my book, in my scorecard, it looks really great. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I tell this to my colleagues as well, is like, you know, this is what it is. It's just doing a good job. You know, very simply put, you don't have to like have any bells and whistles. You don't have to really sell yourself. Just client comes to you. They need help. Help them. That's it.
Yeah, you didn't know any better. You just helped the guy.
I mean, to you, it's just doing a good job, which you make it sound really simple. Mm-hmm. But if everyone thought that, then everyone would be doing it. So what do you think prevents other people, not just in banking, but salespeople, from just doing a good job?
This is something that you guys actually had on Sell or Die a couple weeks back, that you had Jeb Blunt on. And he talked about this, the sales awareness. And one of the things that he said, it kind of like, wait a second.
You listen to our show?
Of course.
Top salespeople listen to our show. I love it.
Exactly.
I don't miss one.
I love it. All right. Sorry. Keep going.
So he talked about the fact that when you take something personally, you lose. And it's very true, and especially in a customer service situation and then even in a sales situation. you know, there's going to be another person that's going to do business with you. So if you lose a sale, if you lose, you know, a situation, it just means you lost one. It doesn't mean you lost everything. And correct. Don't take it personally.
That's correct.
Be aware of the fact that there are more people that will do business with you down the road. So in this situation, you know, here he was coming at me in particular, even though I had done nothing and he just met me. The man was very angry. Well, a lot of other people, and I've seen this, they take it personally. Like, why is he yelling at me? I didn't do anything wrong. And then they react. And then the reaction talks back to the client in a way that's maybe not, you know, as professional as you want to, you know, even if, you know, you're committed to that.
Well, obviously,
I didn't take it personally.
Obviously, his cup runneth over. And you read The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell, realized that this guy had reached his tipping point, and he wasn't angry at you. Yeah. He was angry at it just taking it out on you.
Right.
And
right.
so rather than take correct. It personally, you just took it professionally.
But imagine this. So one of the things you said was you looked at it as an opportunity. Most people would look at it as, oh, I got to help this guy. I got to just
fix
this.
Yeah, what a pain in the ass. How much time is this
going to
take?
Exactly. It's going to take away from my sales.
Right.
But you looked at it as an opportunity, not a sales opportunity necessarily, but an opportunity to help. Because if you go back to your motto, you just want to do a good job.
Yeah. You know, it's something else, too, that has been kind of in my other career as a graphic designer before this. And that an engaged customer is a good customer, regardless of whether it's negative or positive. So here he was extremely engaged. Well, I can work with engaged. I can work with apathy. It's a lot harder to work with that.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's engaged and he's angry, all you really have to do is kind of turn that conversation around, help the person get out of that anger mode, and suddenly they're not only, you know, with you, but they're talking about you to other people, and other people will actually listen to them. And on top of that, these people understand that this is maybe a difficult person. And as soon as they say, oh, wow, you know, Jay was able to help this person, maybe they can help me. You know, this is probably one of the most difficult people I know.
So
you know,
we should send all of our angry customers to you.
Exactly.
You send them all to Jay. Jay can fix all their problems.
Okay, so let me give you a recap. You used your resilience to accept this guy's crap.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't take it personally. You took it seriously, or you took it professionally. And it's how you react, respond, and recover from what this guy was screaming at you. And you decided with your attitude, so you have resilience and attitude, you decided that you were going to do something in a positive way to help this guy. And you did it without any expectation. Resilience, attitude, expectation. And there are thousands of people right now who are listening saying, well, they don't pay me enough to do that. And that's why you're not number one.
Mm-hmm.
You're not number one because you're so pissed off about something stupid that you've overlooked the opportunity that's there. And I'll bet you, Jay, that 99% of the people that work with you would have looked at it a negative way. This guy's all pissed off. He's a jackass. Yeah. I'm not going to do anything, you know, let him rot in hell. He wants to take his business someplace else. Let him go. We don't need him. We're big. You know, he's not going to be
get someone else.
Exactly. And I'll go find somebody that loves me. When in fact you turned this guy into an advocate. You did such a good job that he was willing to refer somebody to you. Mm-hmm. That's the ultimate compliment. So, you know, this is a lesson that every sales guy on the planet and woman should take seriously, personally, and put into effect immediately.
But I love that. And think about this. The person didn't come back for a year, right? That's what you said, a year later?
Yeah.
So it took time, a ton of time, to earn back his trust, even though he referred someone. He saw that that relationship worked. He may have referred other people. I don't know.
He didn't forget in a year.
Right. It took a year for him to say, okay, I'm so frustrated with these other guys that I'm now ready to try you. And had you pressed and pushed, you wouldn't have gotten that sale.
Agreed.
What did you do to maintain a good relationship with him over the year?
Yeah, it's interesting that you asked that because I did follow up with him. I did keep in touch, and yes, it was very light. You know, how are things? Just wanted to check in, you know, simple stuff like that. But I also tried to add value because he is an accountant. I asked him if he wanted to join me in my networking group. And even though he couldn't make it, it's too early for him. You know, a lot of people say that 6:45 in the morning is too early. But, you know, the fact that I thought about him for these things and then I invited him to, let's say, other events in the evening over the time that I had known him, it made him think of me as more than just a person who could fulfill a task.
I was more of somebody who had
a resource.
That's real cool, Jay.
So I use those things. Yeah.
When you can win those guys, you can win anybody. Yeah. Literally. It's easy to win the winners.
Okay, I have one last question for you. How do you stay positive?
Yeah, Jersey.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, it's funny because when I started this journey and I transitioned from that graphic design world, which is literally me behind a desk for 12 hours at a time listening on headphones and not interacting with people, I actually picked up the yellow book of Yes, and I read, like it says in the book, to do about 2 pages a day. Originally it was a year, and it ended up being 2 years. And every once in a while right now, I don't read it every day, but every once in a while I still go back to it. But I honestly feel like it's about practicing that to make sure that your mindset is positive. You need to practice it. You need to wake up in the morning and do something that's positive. And either that's reading a book or that's listening to music, working out, doing something that gets you in that mindset. And after a while, it just becomes second nature. And you then become this positive person constantly. And, you know, again, still good to practice, you know. But if you practice enough, long and hard, eventually it'll become second nature and just a part of who you are.
I want to really thank Jay Biss for being our guest today, because Jay stands in front of a vault, and I would love to be able to get in that vault and grab a couple of handfuls of money, but he was exceptionally insightful about what it really takes. He's the number one guy in New York City and in the country. That's number one.
At a major bank.
Yeah.
If you want to know the bank, you might want to look him up on LinkedIn, but we can't say
exactly
the name.
Go to Jay Biss on LinkedIn and you'll find out what it is. But the real deal is he's dealing with people's money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this just in from our producer. What's the difference between being a trusted advisor and being trusted?
Here's the deal. I trust my dentist, but he's not my trusted advisor.
For teeth, he is.
Trusted advisors typically are people that go way deep into your personal relationship. It sometimes has to do with money or issues of family or issues of very personal things. A trusted advisor, there's very few people who are your trusted advisors. You think about it. If you're listening right now, who are your three trusted advisors? You either like them or you love them or both, and you'll accept their advice and do something about it. And this guy has become trusted advisor, A, because he's believable, and they feel that he's trustworthy. But just because you're trusted doesn't mean you're a trusted advisor.
Well, when you become a trusted advisor, it doesn't matter where you work because you're the brand. So if Jay was to work at another bank, let's just say.
I'm going to go with Jay.
Everyone's going to go with Jay because he's their trusted advisor. If there's just that level of trust, it's not sticky enough.
Yeah, I like him. I believe him. I have confidence in him. But I'm not going to take his advice as gospel yet. Mm-hmm. Until he's proven himself slowly over time. Now, you can lose your trusted advisor status in a heartbeat. All you have to do is lie.
Yep.
One little time and boom, trust is gone, trusted advisor's gone, and you're out. So it may take you 2 years to build it and 1 second to lose it.
Pretty crazy how that works.
Totally crazy about it. But anyway, he was a great guest. And if you understand the difference, you can buy my book, The Little Teal Book of Trust. Oh. You see, that's all the time we have today, but that's not all for you. If you want to listen to the archive archive episodes, you can go to Overcast, download the Overcast app, and find out all about our stuff. But really, you can go to GittimerLearningAcademy.com and get everything, including the Little Teal Book of Trust, and find out all about what it takes to become a trusted advisor and what the difference is between being trusted and being a trusted advisor.
I love it. I just want to go back to Overcast because we are the number one business show. We are the trusted advisors in podcasting, Jeffrey.
I know.
We really are. Make sure you help us out. Subscribe to Sell or Die. Give us a star if you love today's episode. And then click all and star, 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 star.
Thank you very much. And our sponsor, Strasburger Steaks. Come on, they're the greatest. Our producer is the great Doug Branson. With technical assistance from Chris Hill, I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
Reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
If you have a nice ass, don't let it fall off.